there's a story that makes the rounds through all kinds of spiritual circles. I believe it was actually in Chicken Soup from the Soul back in the 90s. I've heard Jesuit priests tell the story. I've heard Anglican priests tell the story. Everyone claims the story, but no one really knows where the story came from. But it goes like this. There was a family, and they had a three-year-old daughter. And then they had a new baby. And the new baby came home. And immediately the daughter began to pester her parents to spend time alone with baby brother. She desperately wanted to go into a room by herself and close the door and spend time with her baby brother. Now the parents, being adults, thought this was maybe not the best of ideas. And so they kept pushing her off and not, letting her do that. But this went on for months, and so they finally decided to acquiesce and give her a few minutes at bedtime after they put the little brother in the crib. So they let her go in, and of course, like good parents, they stand right outside the door, listening intently, and they hear her go up to the crib and lean in and say, "Quick, tell me, what is God like? I'm beginning to forget." Now, we could chalk that up to a cute story, or we could actually think about what it's really telling us. We all talk about when we cross that threshold at death, but we also need to remember that we cross a threshold at birth. And those are the times when the veil is thin and we can see into the other realms and we begin to truly remember who we really are, where we've come from and where we're going, where we actually belong. And this is just one story. Dr. Wayne Dyer actually wrote a book, or compiled a book, called Memories from Heaven. And it was this beautiful collection of stories from all over the world of children telling about their memories before they were born. Children have an innate wisdom. Children remember that they're spiritual beings. Teilhard de Chardin is known for this quote where he said, "We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a human experience." Isn't it interesting how just the change of lens changes everything? And imagine if we could hold on to the idea that we are spiritual beings traveling through the world, how that might change our priorities, how that might change our relationships, how that might change our words and our actions. You see, we're so much more than our egos. We're so much vaster than our finite bodies and this time on earth. But when we're born, we forget that. As we begin to grow, and as our thoughts begin to form, and as culture begins to impose its limitations on us and telling us what to believe, right? Telling us the way the world is, then we begin to gradually forget who we are. And we struggle to remember that we have these divine birthrights, that we're children of God, entitled to unconditional love and belonging and connection. And as we grow in stature, well, we actually become smaller and smaller beings. We become more and more isolated from each other. And we become more and more disconnected from our source of life. And yet, deep in our heart, that memory always remains. And that memory feeds this insatiable hunger for connection and for wholeness and for authenticity. So our lives are nothing more than a journey of remembering, a journey back to the heart of God, a journey of transformation into the fullness of who we're made to be. And that's what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to remind us, to guide us, to walk with us on that journey, to lead us back to ourselves and back to God and back to wholeness. Jesus was the original sacrament, the embodiment of spirit and flesh, the exemplar of the life to which we're all called as beloved children of God. And so this mission is set forth, this mission of Jesus is set forth so beautifully in the poetic prologue of the Gospel of John. And so the excerpt is, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things came into being through him. Without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. He came to witness, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. Right there, it captures this overarching theme that runs through the Gospel of John, which is seeing is believing. And believing is being part of this mutually indwelling relationship with God through Christ. Being in relationship with love. Jesus came to draw us all into God's loving embrace. And so you see it throughout the Gospel of John as Jesus is going around not performing miracles so that people will make him king. He's performing signs. Signs that reveal the nature of God so that we can see and come to belief and enter into this deep and abiding relationship with love that will give us meaning and purpose and wholeness and healing and draw us into relationship with each other. And so he does this beautiful sign of the feeding of the 5,000, and he demonstrates God's abundance and generosity and God as the source of life. The bread of life. The ancient symbol of life was bread. Bread was what we all needed to live. Bread was what we needed for nourishment. Bread is what we needed for sustenance. The bread is our source of life. And so the giving of the bread had so many layered meanings. It wasn't about how do we like multiply 5 loaves to feed 5,000. I mean, if you want to look for a miracle, figure out how you get 5,000 people to sit down, right? And we focus on that. We miss the point just like everybody there did that day. And they did miss the point because rather than being drawn into this like love and letting it satisfy their spiritual hunger, they just wanted to make Jesus king. And so Jesus disappears. He pulls back and he goes away to the mountain to retreat and pray. And the next day, they go chasing after him, right? And they finally find him, and they clearly are still missing the point because they're like, did you already feed him? They were so concerned for their bellies, right? They were still working from a lens of scarcity, not abundance. Jesus was concerned for their souls, for their life. To feed that spiritual hunger, to help them see the beautiful spiritual beings that they really were, to draw them all back into this wonderful, loving relationship. And so he begins this discourse, you know, letting them know that he came for the life of the world. He came that we might have life and we might have it more abundantly. You see, it's only by being in relationship with love, our bread of life, only by that can we actually begin to satiate the hunger that's at the root of our being, the hunger that's at the root of our yearning and our restlessness. And we all know that hunger, right? We try to feed that hunger through all kinds of ways, right? We chase after it with achievements, and we chase after it with acquisitions, and we chase after it with addictions, and we try to fill our lives with food and drink and good times and TV and social media and, you know, all of these things. And some of them, they're not bad. Some of them are, but not all of them. But they're junk food, right? They're like eating at McDonald's. You just love those fries and that, like, you know, Big Mac. Until about 3 hours later, and you don't feel so good, right? Every your blood sugar crashes, and you're starving again, and you're like, why did I eat that? And you're still hungry. We can chase after things. We create dramas. We perpetuate and sustain drama because it serves us. Perhaps the drama puts us at the center and it creates reasons for people to care for us. Or perhaps it gives us a reason to be needed by someone else because we're searching so much for connection, but all we're really doing is just stirring up drama. And at the end of it, no matter how much we try, our efforts are in vain because the junk food cannot satisfy our deepest cravings. The craving for love and for meaning and for relationship. These types of foods, they do not give us life. And they do not last. The newness, the excitement, the distraction, it eventually wears off and it leaves us empty. But Jesus came to feed our hunger. I am the bread of life. I will satisfy you. Consume me. As we get further into John 6, he will say, dwell in me. Let me dwell in you. Right? You know, back in the sacristy over here, you know, you'll hear people talking about eating Jesus as they eat the bread after church service, right? It sounds a little weird. My kids love this chapter because we get all the vampires and the zombies, right? The eating the flesh and the drinking the blood. It's coming. Exciting scenes for next week, right? You know, like, what does it mean? Like, how do we eat Jesus? How do we eat the bread of life, right? It's not an action. That's what he was telling the people in Capernaum. It's not an action, it's a relationship. In the Gospel of John, there's always the primacy of the relationship with Jesus. And we enter into the relationship by giving all of ourselves into that relationship. We give our 5 barley loaves and our 2 fishes, right? We give all of our lives, our blessings, our joys and sorrows, whoever, the totality of ourselves, we just give it over into that relationship. And what Jesus does is he accepts it and he lifts it up and he blesses it and he transforms us. And he draws us into deeper and deeper relationship. Because the more we're fed, the more we hunger, the deeper we go. It changes us. We begin to perceive ourselves as spiritual beings. We begin to move through the world as spiritual beings. Everything seems hard when we start it in our head and try to make it happen. But when it starts in our heart, it flows out of us. And we find ourselves doing the impossible. We find ourselves doing the unimaginable. We find ourselves doing because we cannot not do. Right? So we do it by giving the all of ourselves, by like feasting on the Word of God, the living Word of God, and letting it speak to us in our time and in our language. We do it by prayer, by being still, by making space, by opening our hearts, by taking Sabbath. And here's a novel idea. Slow down. Consider actually stopping. It's almost impossible. You know, we will do anything for God, right? We will climb the highest mountains and we will feed the hungry. We will build buildings. But if God says, just be still and know, we're like, come on, God, give me something harder. But not because it's hard, because it's actually impossible to be still these days, right? Because when we're still, guess what? We begin to feel the hunger. We begin to feel the emptiness. And we have to be able to sit with it long enough to let Jesus come in and fill us with love and grace and embrace us, to remind us who we really, really are. But when we take this time to be with the living presence of Christ in our midst, well, our eyes are open. Our hearts are open. We begin to apprehend God's presence in the world around us. And we begin to move past religion and sort of intellectual assent to a set of beliefs into intimacy with God. We move from abstraction to communion. We move from self-sufficiency, now hold on, to dependency on God. We actually trust that we know we're hungry, we know we need something, and we actually trust that God can feed us. And we let God offer us that living food. Dependency on God draws us into interdependent relationships with each other. It's so countercultural. And it's just, it's this blessing that we've been given. If we can just open our eyes to see it and say yes. So imagine, just imagine for a moment standing on Capernaum shore. You're standing there with your stomach grumbling. You're dusty, you're tired from sleeping on the ground. But all of a sudden, Jesus looks at you. Those soulful eyes of Jesus looking directly into your heart. Those soft words speaking directly to your soul. Yearn no more. Hunger no more. I'm here. I am the one. I am the bread of life. Come to satiate your deepest hunger. Jesus gave himself for the life of the world. Jesus invites us to give ourselves fully to him, to know his presence, to receive abundant life. The table is set. We're all invited. Will you come? Will you come and eat the bread that doesn't perish? The bread of eternal life? Will you come and see? Will you taste and see?